to Prioritize Your Health, where you learn how to put your health first. I'm your host, Morgan Seeps. Modern living doesn't make it easy to do the things we know are good for us. Eat fruits and veggies, get good quality sleep, drink enough water, stress less, exercise. On the show, we uncover strategies that make it easier for you to take care of yourself. It will take effort, but I promise it's worth it. The decision is yours. I'm here to show you what's possible. Welcome to another episode. Today, I will introduce lifestyle medicine to you, explain how it's different and not so different from other areas of medicine, and why I believe it's one of the most undervalued tools in health and wellness today. So let's jump right in. What is lifestyle medicine? So I'm going to take this definition straight from lifestylemedicine.org, the best place to get all information about lifestyle medicine. So they say that lifestyle medicine is an evidence-based approach to treating and reversing disease by replacing unhealthy behaviors with positive ones. What I love about this definition is that it doesn't exclude those people who are already living with a chronic disease like diabetes or heart disease. I love preventive medicine and would always prefer to prevent disease before it develops, but the reality is that more than half of U.S. adults are living with a chronic condition. And according to the World Health Organization, 80% of heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes, as well as 40% of cancer, could be prevented primarily with improvements to diet and lifestyle. So there's actually a separate board exam to become a board certified physician or healthcare practitioner in lifestyle medicine, but it is something that every specialty can use. And it's something that you can use without having to go to medical school, because a lot of the things are really simple. But as we talk about on this podcast, sometimes the simple things aren't necessarily easy. So, of course, my interest in family medicine fits in with lifestyle medicine exceptionally well. And before we had medications to treat many of today's diseases, lifestyle modifications were all that doctors had to help. So we're going to talk about the kind of six pillars of lifestyle medicine, because I really like to use these six kind of categories of health to talk with my clients and my patients and my family, and even for myself to think of it, to really make sure that I'm thinking about whole person health. And really going into these six pillars will help us to have a framework from which we can really start to talk about making sure we have balanced health and we're not just focusing on what we're eating or just focusing on exercise. So first up, unsurprisingly, is nutrition. So lifestyle medicine really does take the approach of food is medicine. They really try and focus on whole foods and those foods that are plants, because those are usually the foods that are going to be rich in fiber and really nutrient dense. So really the focus here is on eating a wide variety, eating the rainbow of fruits, vegetables, beans, lentils, legumes, whole grains, nuts, and seeds. And most importantly, they should really be minimally processed. So as much as, you know, sometimes I like having a lentil-based pasta, or, you know, I finally find a nice flour mix that's gluten-free that isn't just rice flour, really trying to make sure that the majority of your food is coming from that minimally processed or unprocessed, you know, plant food. And a great way to do this is to actually grow your own food, which you might be saying, Morgan, holy cow, like I'm just here to learn about how to get healthier. I have no time to start learning how to grow my own food. And I would say I agree. I also cannot grow food. I have tried to grow numerous plants, whether they're houseplants, or even when I was younger, trying to like help my mom with the garden or my grandparents. Unless plants are in something called a tower garden, which is a hydroponic gardening system that I have, for whatever reason, unless they are in that, they die. So what we use in our house is we use the tower garden for a lot of our growing during the summer. And then actually through using some grow lights was actually able to grow it inside while I was in Chicago, which was super cool to still get fresh herbs and stuff for all of my meal prep and cooking while there were, you know, 3 feet of snow outside. So more to come, plenty more to come on this whole whole foods, plant-based food as medicine concept. But that's kind of the overview. And maybe one nugget for you today is to see what new plant food can you add in today? Maybe it's a new vegetable, or if you already seem to eat quite a lot of plants, how many different colors can you get into your day? And this is a really fun game to play with kids, or even big kids, like grown adults, just having a little friendly competition in your house to see how many different colors you can get in your day. So next up is exercise or movement, anything that gets you moving. So on the lifestylemedicine.org website, their explanation or their coded definition is regular and consistent physical activity that can be maintained on a daily basis throughout life. And I just love this definition because nowhere in there does it say that you have to go do some really intense HIIT exercise or, I mean, I love if those of you who are really into CrossFit and that works for you, that's fabulous, but that's just not something that I could regularly and consistently do throughout my life. And so I am a big proponent of trying as many different types of physical movement as possible because you never know what is going to sit well with you, what you're going to, you know, just all of a sudden realize that you absolutely love swimming or that you really enjoy going to salsa dancing classes or that kickboxing is your thing. And so finding things that keep it interesting, you know, it doesn't have to be an ultra marathon. You don't have to have any goal about it other than just moving your body every day. And two forms of movement that I think are pretty underrated are gardening and walking. So for a lot of the older patients that I've worked with, you know, gardening is one of their biggest activities, especially here in the South where the, you know, weather generally is pretty good most months of the year. And so gardening is something that a lot of older people that I've worked with are really into. And, you know, unless you're wearing like a heart rate monitor, sometimes you don't realize that, you know, getting down on the ground and getting up and carrying things and walking around the yard, all of that is movement. And so, you know, don't underestimate how powerful that and walking can be. I mean, walking is, I think, one of the most powerful tools we have in our tool belt because you don't have to do an entire hour. You can start out with just 5 minutes going to the mailbox and back, or maybe doing one lap around your building. So definitely think about those, even though they aren't quite as like flashy and fun as some of the other forms of exercise. And of course, when people ask me what is the best kind of exercise, my response is always, well, it's the kind that you are going to do. So it might be different than your family. It might be different than your best friend. But really just finding what is going to work for you is going to be your best bet. Today's episode is brought to you by Health Made Simple, a community founded in Charlotte, North Carolina that now serves people and communities in over 25 countries around the world. I have been so grateful to be a part of this community through my family since 2000, and I've been a part of the community as a pro since 2014, and I can honestly say there is really nothing like it. They are a mission-driven community designed to inspire healthy living around the world. Their pros, like myself, are parents or speakers or entrepreneurs, educators, mentors, coaches, pro athletes, performers, artists, fitness experts, health professionals, and really everyone in between. And a lot of people fall into numerous categories. Health Made Simple collaborates on community education events, workshops, Zoom calls, and webinars to educate people on the power of whole food nutrition and a healthy lifestyle. They collectively offer practical solutions rooted in cutting-edge research to achieve optimal wellness. To learn more about Health Made Simple and all they are doing to improve communities around the world, visit their website, healthmadesimplepro.com, or join their Powered by Plants Facebook group, where you can find all sorts of recipes, inspiration, and just get together with people who are like-minded and wanting to add more plants into their life and live that optimal, healthy lifestyle. The fourth pillar is talking about reducing harmful substances. And while a lot of the lifestylemedicine.org resources mostly refer to drugs and alcohol in this category, I like to take it a step further and consider all of the additional toxins we're exposed to in our environment on a daily basis. So things like your skincare products or what you use to clean your house with, as well as things that we might not have as much control over, like pollution and cigarette smoke and other things that might be around us that aren't necessarily right within our control. And we're going to dive deeper into this in episodes coming up. I've got some guests who this is their bread and butter, as we say, in family medicine. This is really what they know a lot about. And I'm still in the learning process with all of this. It's been a process. It's been a transition to really open my eyes to what kinds of toxins are allowed into some of the products that are sold here in the United States. And really taking into, you know, your own family's hands to make sure that what you're bringing into your house is helping your family to reach another step towards that healthy goal and not in the opposite direction. So one thing that you can do starting out, just kind of like a dipping your toe in the water, if you're interested in learning more about this, the Environmental Working Group has a search tool that will allow you to put in different skincare options. And then they have another tool on their website that I believe will let you do some cleaning products as well, like laundry detergent, etc. And it'll actually give you a rating of what ingredients are in that product. So you don't have to do the dirty work of going and looking up every single ingredient and every product you have. You can just type in your product. And most products I've looked up have actually been in there. And it also will give you suggestions. So if you're out of your toothpaste and you want to look for a cleaner swap, they have some examples for you as well. And then you can also always check out my website. I have all of my favorite products that are the rated well on the EWG scoring tool. So that's an option for you as well. But stay tuned, because we're going to dive into this a whole lot more when my special guest comes on in several weeks. And of course, we'll talk a little bit about what choices you have in terms of limiting your exposure to alcohol, because that is such a big part of social life in the United States, and some suggestions for how you can still be a part of that social group and maybe not be the one drinking alcohol. And I have a lot of fun recipes. We call them fun drinks in our house, whether it's putting together, we call it bubble water, sparkling water with some fruit juice, or some other fun stuff that I'll share in the coming weeks. Okay, we're coming down to the last few, but sleep is, I think, one of my absolute favorite components of health that we do not talk about and we do not value enough. I truly think that quality sleep is the next big revolution, if you will, for health and wellness. The research really is astounding on how many things sleep can impact in your health. I'm going to do a deep dive on this in the Sleep 101 episode coming up here in a few weeks. So as a preview, little teaser for our Sleep 101 episode coming up, not getting enough high quality sleep can actually cause problems with your immune system. It can alter your pain perception and affect your glucose metabolism. So these are three things that I, even 6 months ago, did not know. So the research is really starting to pour out about how important sleep is. It's not just about fatigue and being tired, and about how not getting enough sleep can be related to unwanted weight gain. But we're going to dive deeper into all of those things that sleep really can impact. And just a quick plug for my favorite wearable device that is a tool. They're not sponsoring the podcast, although if anybody on Whoop is listening, I would love for you to sponsor this podcast, because I talk about Whoop all the time. But it's WHOOP, and it is you wear it on your wrist, or they have some like fancy clothing you can like slide the little heart rate monitor into. But it has absolutely been life-changing for me in terms of the quality of sleep as well as the quantity of sleep that I'm getting. And you might be thinking, oh, wow, someone that's training to be a family med doc, they're actually getting lots of sleep every night. not every night, but it has significantly improved since I started using it. And let's see, when did I first start using Whoop? I guess it was in 2019, I think, or 2020. Yeah, it was right before COVID. So I have been using it for quite a while now and absolutely love it. So I'll talk a little bit more about how it works and why I am so obsessed with it in our Sleep 101 episode. But that can be your little tidbit for today. If you're interested in digging in more, their podcast has a lot of great information, just kind of about what their data shows and what they are looking at in terms of helping both athletes and non-athletes and just regular humans figuring out how to make the most out of their day and really prioritize that quality sleep and figuring out what behaviors are going to impact the quality of your sleep, which ties perfectly well in with lifestyle medicine. And last but certainly not least is the pillar of lifestyle medicine that I actually didn't really consider to be a part of health until I really started diving into this whole person care and lifestyle medicine. And the research really does back it up. Relationships and social health. If you've heard anything about the blue zones, which again, we'll talk about more when we dive into our social connectedness and relationships 101 podcast in a few weeks. But in general, it shows that those who have strong social connections really do live longer, healthier lives. And there's this concept on lifestylemedicine.com that they refer to as, they quote it as, social connectedness is essential to emotional resiliency. And I would say that especially with everything that's going on in our world, having that emotional resiliency is absolutely critical to your overall well-being. And therefore, social connectedness is especially important. And I say this as a pretty big introvert. So I am definitely someone who gets my energy from alone time. I love to be with my friends and my family, but I most definitely need that time to recharge before and after. But still having that appropriate amount of social connectedness for you that allows you to feel like there are people you can go to, there are people you can talk to. For me, it's literally just sitting in the same room with my best friend allows us to feel socially connected. The joy of having another introvert best friend is that you never feel awkward sitting in silence. It's amazing. But if you are one of those people who is really getting their energy from being around a lot of people, you know, finding ways safely during this time to connect with people, you know, it doesn't always have to be on Zoom. There are other ways to connect with people safely. And again, we're going to talk about kind of the research behind this and what other things you can do to really make it a habit to get those connections going in your everyday life. And then another quote that I found really interesting from their website is that isolation is associated with increased mortality. So it's kind of the inverse of what we were just talking about with that social connection really leading to longer and healthier lives. But sometimes I feel like things can be even more impactful when you kind of flip it around and look at the same meaning, but in another, kind of the other side of the coin. And so if isolation is associated with increased mortality, you know, we know that not eating healthily, not moving your body, smoking, drinking lots of alcohol, all of these things can lead to increased mortality as well. And so this is just really undermining how important these relationships are and that social health. So again, we'll talk more about what those blue zones are and what other research is coming out about this whole idea of social health. Okay, friends, that is it for today. On today's episode, we really just went over kind of the high-level overview of the six pillars of lifestyle medicine, and also gave you a little preview of what's to come in the next six episodes, where we'll focus on diving deeper into each one of those six pillars. There were several nuggets that you could take right now and apply them to your life as just one thing you can do right now to move towards a healthier, happier you. So just to recap, that would be trying some new plant food, whether that's a new vegetable or getting more colors in your day, moving your body every single day, even if that's just a 5-minute walk to the mailbox and back, or if you're already moving every day but maybe you're not enjoying it, try out a different type of movement, something you've never done before. And in terms of minimizing your exposures to toxins, you can go ahead and check out that environmental working group tool to kind of check and see where your personal care products are on that spectrum of safety and cleanliness. And then talking about sleep, so maybe set an alarm for going to bed to really prioritize 7 to 8 hours a night and just see how you feel after consistently doing that for a week or so. And then lastly, my challenge to you is to plan something fun with one of your closest friends or your family, even if it's virtual. Maybe get creative. Maybe you make tacos together, each person making them in their own place and then eating them together. But doing something to really work on that social relationship component of health. Next week, we will dig into all things plant-based nutrition and why you should be so excited about it. And if you just can't wait to learn about the power of plants, head to the show notes and sign up for my weekly newsletter too on Tuesdays. You'll get a new plant-based recipe and my pick of the week straight to your inbox. My pick is usually a podcast episode, book, quote, kitchen gadget, something along those lines that I am loving right now, and I hope that you will too. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Prioritize Your Health. As always, I hope you found one simple nugget of information, or a few, that you can use right away. All resources, links, and sources from today's episode can be found in the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with someone you care about. And if you haven't already, take 30 seconds to hit the subscribe button and leave us a rating and review so we can keep bringing you the best tips to put your health first. Connect with me online at Morgan Siebes, S-I-E as in Edward, B as in boy, S, and through my website at whitecoatwildflower.com. Until next time, keep living your best life.